This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا صدق الله العظيم. The verse I just recited before you is verse number 60, and that now introduces a new narrative in this chapter 18, Surah Al-Kahf, and this is the famous incident regarding the journey and the travel of Musa alayhi salam to Khadir. So let's first get the backdrop of this ayah and then put context to it and then progress through. From verse 60 to verse 82 pretty much focuses on this new discussion or different discussion within this chapter, and that is the mysteries between Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Khadir alayhi salatu wassalam. So the hadith appears in Bukhari in Kitab al-Ilm that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was delivering a sermon. Qama Musa khatiban fi bani Israel. Musa alayhi salam stood up delivering a sermon to his people. Fasu'ila, he was asked the question, man a'lamu an-nas, aw Musa, who is the most learned? So Musa alayhi salam replied, Ana, I am the most learned. And according to another narration in Bukhari on the strength of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu, the words of the narration go as follows, that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was asked, Hal ta'lamu ahadan a'lama minka? O Musa, do you know of anyone more learned, more knowledgeable, more erudite than you? And he said, no. Fa'ataba Allahu ala Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reproached Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, idh lam yarud al-ilma ilayhi, simply because he did not direct knowledge to the Almighty. The prophets, of course, go through a very stringent process of tarbiyah. Their nurturing is on a very, very high level. Earlier in this chapter, we spoke about the fact when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam lapsed in the utterance of insha'Allah, which resulted in revelation being paused for 15 days to impress upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam the importance, the merit, and the significance of the utterance of insha'Allah. فَعَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ إِذْ لَمْ يَرُدَّ الْعِلْمَ إِلَيْهِ. The hadith of Bukhari, Allah then reproached and chastised and admonished Musa alayhi salam for not directing knowledge to the Almighty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wassalam that there is a servant of mine, عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا, a servant of mine who is more learned than you. أَعْلَمُ مِنْكَ, he is more learned than you. And he is at the confluence of the two seas, at the junction of the two oceans. Now, of course, the junction of the two oceans occur in many parts of the world. Geographically, which one is referenced here? Again, the same principle, أَبْهِمُوا مَا أَبْهَمَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah did not provide that detail, so there's no need for us to probe it. However, in Tanwir al-Adhan, the Mufassir writes that according to his research, it is the junction of the two oceans which occurred in that time between Faris and Rum, which today would be, of course, Iran and its neighboring country. The junction of the two oceans there, this is the one reference according to one opinion. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam got ready to embark on this journey. Kayfa bihi, kayfa bihi. Oh my Lord, how can I access him? How can I meet with him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told Musa alayhi salam, خُذْ حُوتًا فِي مِكْتَلٍ. Take a fish and place it in a basket. And the place where the fish hops out, of course it will be miraculous because Allah will give it life and it will hop out. That would be the precise location where the servant of mine will be residing, and that is where you can meet him. So Musa alayhi salatu wassalam takes the fish, places it in the basket and embarks on this journey. In Bayanul Quran, it is written that, and as we move on, there are many lessons for us to take here. Number one, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala impressed upon Musa alayhi salam to embark on this journey, لِتَعْلِيمِ الْإِحْتِيَاطِ فِي الْكَلَامِ, to impress upon him the importance of exercising caution in speech. So of course Musa alayhi salam was the most learned, and he was a Nabi of Allah, and he was from amongst the Ulul Azm, who rank more senior and superior to the other prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about these five prophets in different verses of the Quran. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. So the Ulul Azm were the more prominent. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. He was a prophet. He was the most learned amongst his people. But the wisdom of impressing upon him to meet with this individual, and again we will expound on the knowledge that this individual possessed, was to remind Musa alayhi salam about ihtiyat fil kalam, exercising caution when speaking. Now let's just pause for a moment, my brother and my sister. Musa alayhi salam was the most learned. Academically, his answer was correct. And when he said, I am the most learned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked it, though he was the most learned amongst his people. What about you and I who do not have knowledge? And I definitely don't have knowledge. And this is what I always say in my 30 odd years of association with knowledge. The thing that I have learned the most is that I don't know. إِنَّ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ أَن يَقُولَ لَا أَدْرِي. Part of knowledge is to learn to say, I don't know. And the truth is, I don't know. And the truth is, we don't know. So Musa alayhi salam possessed knowledge, and yet when he claimed it, Allah disliked it. You and I are devoid of knowledge. Can you imagine how disliked it would be in the eyes of Allah when we claim it? Ad was a nation synonymous to strength. Think of strength and Ad would come to your mind. And think of Ad and strength will come to mind. They were so strong that even Allah said, لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. I never created people the likes of Ad. They were so huge in their physique, towering in their personality, mighty in their appearance. وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. They were strong, they were mighty, they were powerful. And what did they say? مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. Who is stronger than us? Again, the same point. They were strong. Allah said they were strong. Allah said, I did not create anyone stronger than them amongst the nations. Yet when they claimed strength, Allah disliked it. And what did Allah say? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Have they forgotten that Allah who created them is stronger than them? In Madarij al-Salikin, on page 99 in the first volume, and I came across this in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani in the 23rd Juz, in chapter 38 in Surah Sa'd, in the Hashia there, this is where I came across it. It is mentioned that when a servant makes a claim and he says, you know, I've been giving charity for so many years, you know, I keep my Ramadan fast and it is preceded by Sha'ban fast and followed by the six fasts of Shawwal. And there isn't a year I miss out my i'tikaf and I give my zakat in advance. A person talks about what he's achieved and he's accomplished. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to that servant, but I gave you health and I gave you wealth and I gave you ability and I gave you strength. And when a servant directs everything to Allah and he says, oh my Lord, you made it possible for me to perform my Taraweeh prayer. You made it possible for me to observe my fast. You made it possible for me to give charity. Then Allah says, yes, oh my servant, but it was your sincere intention as well. It was your passion as well. It was your dua as well. So when a servant directs it to Allah, then Allah acknowledges his intention, his endeavor, his motivation. And when a servant claims anything, then Allah says, but you cannot do anything without me, which is the absolute truth. So that's the first lesson for us as we move on discussing this journey in our own ways. We might not be traveling physically, but we are going to pick up many lessons on this journey, inshallah, of Musa and Khadir. By the way, the more common on al-sinatun nas, on the tongues of people, is Khidr. But the academically, they say both are correct in pronunciation, but Khadir is the more correct pronunciation. There's debate whether he was a Nabi or a Wali. Ala ikhtilaf al-aqwal, both the opinions exist. Musa alayhi salatu was salam was a person acquainted with the divine knowledge, the sacred knowledge, a prophet, the sharia, right? As we refer to as Shari' alayhi salam. While Khadir was a person endowed with the knowledge of the secrets of the kawn, asrarul kawn, the wisdom of the life, the death, the decline, the collapse, the rain, there are these commands and these injunctions that are playing out in the world of, in the wisdom of the Almighty. He will pass away, he will be born, he will rise to the throne, he will fall from the throne, he will recover, he will be unwell. These are things that are happening by the will of the Almighty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had tasked him with certain things and acquainted him and familiarized him with some of these secrets in his creation. Okay, the second thing we learn from here, and this is mentioned in Bayanul Quran as well, فِيهِ الْجِدُّ الْبَلِيغِ فِيهِ الْجِدُّ الْبَلِيغِ لِطَلَبِ الْمُرْشِدِ مَا لَمْ يَفُتْ مِنْهُ حَقٌ أَوْجَبَ مِنْهُ. That Musa alayhi salam, no sooner was he informed about someone more learned than him, the display of humility of Musa alayhi salam was remarkable. Oh my Allah, how can I access him? What is his pin location? Can you send me the coordinates? Can you send me the Google Maps? I need to go to this person. So what do we learn from this here? Fihi al-jiddul baligh. We need to exert ourselves. We need to travel the length and breadth of continents and countries. لطلب المرشد, to find a learned person, to find a spiritual mentor. Of course, the qualifying statement would be, مَا لَمْ يَفُتْ مِنْهُ حَقٌ أَوْجَبَ مِنْهُ, provided we do not fall short in our other duties and responsibilities. As a father and as a husband, I cannot shirk my duty or abandon my children and say, I'm traveling abroad in the quest of knowledge and tough luck, you need to live with whatever you need to do. No. You know, there is this beautiful explanation that when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left his family and left his wife, and then he went in to the desert, and then his wife asked him, he left his family in the desert and he went, and his wife asked him, هَلْ أَمَرَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا, has Allah instructed you to do this? And he nodded yes, and then she said, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيِّعَنَا, then Allah will not forsake us. And under this ayah in Bayan al-Quran, in the 13 Juz, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ, that I have established my family in a place where there is no produce or plantation or vegetation, etc. So under this it is written that it would be incorrect for someone to take the liberty and say, I can also leave my family and go in the quest of knowledge or in the quest of something noble. I am going to perform Umrah, etc. And I'm leaving my family unattended. And he latches on to the narrative of Musa, the narrative of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the answer given is no, you simply cannot compare what Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam did to what you are doing. Why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left his wife and children bi wahyin, by divine command from the Almighty. And what you are doing is not by divine command. So if it's the command of the Almighty, then of course that has been endorsed, approved, and sanctioned by the Almighty. But the point we learn from here is, that we need to travel for knowledge as well. People travel for leisure. People travel for business. People travel for cure. You know what? There is a surgeon here. There is a physician here. There is a herbalist here. There is a conventional doctor here. There is a physiotherapist. You need to come to this country. Somebody is having back problems. He travels far and wide to get some help, some relief in this regard. What about traveling in the quest of knowledge? Fihi al-jiddul baligh. And at least we can do this from time to time, like we take our family out on a weekend. Why not take them out to come and spend some time with learned and pious people? Okay, so let's now give a translation of the verse and move on as we explore these verses. Verse number 60. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. And remember the time when Musa alayhi salatu was salam said to the youngster. So it refers to his khadim and his servant and helper, which according to the authentic hadith was Yusha bin Nun, who subsequently becomes a Nabi. Some argues he was a Nabi already. Others say no, he was not a Nabi at that time, but he became a prophet later. The Quran makes reference to Yusha bin Nun, who was the servant of Musa alayhi salam in this journey, as Fata. Fata in Arabic means young person. In fact, innahum fitya, the youth of the cave, we spoke about the plural of the word Fata, addresses two aspects. Number one, that a good helper will be one who is young, because he is active, he is agile, he is versatile, he has strength, he has resilience, he has clout, he has muscle, he can work. Inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyyul amin. The daughter of Shu'aib, when she was impressed by the skills of Musa alayhi salam, then she said, the best employee you can employ, O my father, is the one who is strong and trustworthy. And I find this individual to embody both these qualities. So fata, ideally a helper, a worker, a servant, is one who's healthy and able. You don't want a servant who needs to be attended to himself. So he's coming to, you know what, I'm a khadim of the sheikh, or I'm a helper and I'm going to serve the scholar, but he himself needs to be attended to, then that can be counterproductive. The second thing we learn from here, and this is mentioned in Ma'ariful Quran, is that the Quran teaches us dignified terminology and respectful words when referencing a helper or a servant. Sometimes when it refers to a helper or a servant in certain cultures, then the words or the terminologies that are being used are not very respectful. It's not in keeping with the preservation of the self-esteem of that individual. You refer to him with choices of words that are demeaning to his personality. He might be desperate of the job and, you know, he just hangs on to the employment. But you don't use a respectful term. And hence I often say sometimes we have helpers, domestic workers in our house that are senior of age to our children. They could be the age of the parents of our children, and even beyond that age, our kids ought to address them with respectful titles. Uncle, aunt, respected, and just not casually refer to them by their name. So that's the second message we pick up from this year, is addressing people with respectful names. Was it not Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu who said, ثَلَاثٌ يُثْبِتْنَا الْوُدَّ فِي صَدْرِ أَخِيكَ ثَلَاثٌ يُثْبِتْنَا الْوُدَّ فِي صَدْرِ أَخِيكَ. Three things will instill love in the heart of your brother. Number one, أَن تَبْدَأَهُ بِالسَّلَامِ. When you see him, initiate the greeting. Number two, أَن تُوَسِّعَ لَهُ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ. In a gathering, make some space for him. You know what? Move yourself, adjust yourself, create an opening for him, welcome him, usher him in, allow him to sit there. Don't give the notion, no, there's no place, sorry, you came too late. Of course, we're not telling you to tell somebody else to move and occupy that place. No, that's not what we're suggesting. There's the whole academic explanation, by the way, I just have a flash now. In the 28 juz in Surah Al-Mujadala, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was conducting a gathering, and then there was Sahaba that was sitting, and then some participants and veterans and companions of Badr came in, but they arrived late. and there wasn't some place for them. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the Sahaba, can you just move a little? Can you just be a bit spacious? Can you just create some movement? And of course they obliged and complied. And the scholars have written under this ayah that this authority that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would apply to anyone who is Ra'isul Majlis, any person who is the head of the gathering. He can tell someone, can you slightly move? Not fellow congregants. They shouldn't tell people, move from here and allow him to come. But the leader of the congregation, he can make those necessary adjustments. And it is in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ. Oh, you who believe, إِذَا قِيلَ, when it is said to you. And in fact, the scholars deduce from the adoption and the expression of قِيلَ. Allah didn't say, إِذَا قَالَ لَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ, when the Prophet tells you, but Allah said, when it is told to you, which gives off umum. Umum means general, broad-based, nakira, which then includes anyone who is the leader of the gathering and tells you, you know what, تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ, make some space, فَفْسَحُوا, then don't resist the injunction, don't resist the request, make some space and accommodate people, يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. By you making space for your brother in this world, Allah will make space for you in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, Allah will make space for you. The scholars of tafsir say it refers to Jannah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُزُوا, and if perchance you are told, stand up. Can you just move? Because the head of the gathering wants to address, just one segment of that congregation. Or he just needs some time and then he will resume with the discourse later. Then stand up. وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُزُوا فَانْشُزُوا. Then stand up. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah will elevate the believers from amongst you and grant them reward. وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. While those who possess knowledge, for them is great rank, stations and nobility. And it's mentioned, why has Allah consciously, separately, independently referenced the people of knowledge after the people of Iman? Because the people of knowledge with the deep knowledge will oblige to this injunction with deep wisdom. When you got deep wisdom, and of course I need to stand up, there's nothing to resist, it's in the Quran. In fact, the Quran tells you when you go and knock on someone's door and he tells you go away, you should happily go away, this is good for you. Now, if you don't know the verse of the Quran, you might just say, okay, the man doesn't want me, I'll go away, it's fine. What can I do? He hasn't welcomed me. But if you have knowledge and you understand, then you will know it's a verse of the Quran. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمُ ارْجِعُوا, and when you are told, go back, فَارْجِعُوا, then return. هُوَ أَزْكَى, that is more pure for you. Don't take offense. Don't feel insulted. It wasn't the right time. The man was having a private moment. He was relaxing. You knocked on his door. You rang his bell. You called on his phone. He said, sorry, I'm not available to meet now. Don't take offense. In fact, the pious, it's mentioned in the books, that many of them said, I knocked the doors of people with the hope that someone will turn me away so I can practice on this ayah, but nobody ever turned me away. Allahu Akbar. So what's the message? The message is, وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Those who have knowledge, for them is greater rank because they will do it with greater wisdom and understanding. So that's the second thing Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said would give love in the heart of your brother. When you meet him, greet him. Number two, make space for him in a gathering. And number three, أَن تَدْعُوَهُ بِأَحَبِّ أَسْمَائِهِ إِلَيْهِ. Address him by a name that he loves. You know he likes this name, that is his actual name, or he prefers the nickname, or he prefers a family name, or whatever name he loves. Call him by the name he loves. And don't persist on calling someone by a name they dislike. Some people just agonize and irritate and offend and insult people. Stop calling me by that name. I don't like that name. You're offending me. And people will insist. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. And do not give unpleasant titles. Okay, so that's just a quick reflection. We haven't even commenced with the verse. Verse 60, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. And remember the time when Musa alayhi salam said to the youngster, لَا أَبْرَحُ لَا أَزَالُ أَبْرَحُ, I will continue walking حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ, until I arrive at the confluence of the two seas, the meeting of waters, the junction of the two oceans, because this is the point that Allah had identified for Musa to meet Khadir. أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُوبَ, or I will continue walking for a long period. The Ahlul Lugha, the linguists, differ strongly in defining حقوبة. لابثين فيها أحقابا. Some say a حقوب refers to 80 years, some say a century, some say beyond. There's difference of opinion, but the common thread between all the definitions is a long period. And hence many scholars have opted for that translation. He said to his servant, I'm going to travel till I come to the confluence of the two oceans, or I'm going to walk for a very long period. So that's the message, my brother. We need to travel in the quest of knowledge. We go through so much for a holiday. You know, it's a holiday, but the packing, the travel, the heat, the airport, the luggage, waiting for your luggage, settling into your hotel. My word, that itself has its own challenges, but we endure because it's an outing, it's an excitement. The holiday starts from the time you leave, the journey, everything is just exciting. It's part of the journey, it's part of the fun. تغرب عن الأوطان في طالب العلا وسافر ففي الأسفار خمس فوائد تفرج هم واكتساب معيشة وعلم وآداب وصحبة ماجد. Imam Shafi'i said that تغرب عن الأوطان في طالب العلا, leave your house and travel in the search of knowledge, وسافر ففي الأسفار خمس فوائد, there are many benefits, five of which he narrates and enumerates. Number one, tafarruju hammin, just traveling relaxes, change of environment. Waqtisabu ma'isha, and often in travel, you make money. Tafarruju hammin, waqtisabu ma'isha. Wa ilm, you learn knowledge. Wa adab, you learn etiquette, you learn etiquette. I will not forget this etiquette. Years ago, I had spent 3 Ramadans in California, and I was at times invited to the house of this particular brother who was originally from Pakistan, but was now living in America, in California for many years. And subhanAllah, this was his etiquette, that when an imam or an ustad or a sheikh arrives at his house, then he stands outside in anticipation to receive the guest. So that's just him and his nature. So I would like assure him that I'm fine, your son is bringing me, all is good, don't wait in advance, there's no need for it, etc. But no, this is his etiquette. And when it's time to leave, it's just his nature that he needs to walk you out, he needs to see you into the car, and he needs to see you off. That's the etiquette. And that really, you know what, impressed upon me the richness of this particular practice. Those of you who have traveled to Malaysia and Indonesia, then you will observe a very, very rich culture when it comes to respect and mannerism. Very, very. So if a youngster or a junior needs to exit from a gathering in which there's a senior, then there is a hand gesture which would be played out asking and seeking permission just as a mark of respect. So adab, you will learn etiquettes. وَصَحْبَةُ مَاجِدِي, and you will get the company of learned people and pious people. Okay, we'll conclude on that note. Verse number 60, we've kind of commenced the journey. We've given you the backdrop of it. It's an amazing journey. It's Musa and Khadir. The journey hasn't formally started, but we've introduced the motivation of the journey. We've got some takeaway points from here, and that is that we need to exercise caution in our speech. We need to travel far and wide in the quest of knowledge. We need to give people dignified titles. It's ideal to have a young person as a helper, etc., etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to devote our time in the quest of knowledge. Kun aliman, أو متعلما أو مستمعا أو محبا. Become a scholar, كن عالما, or then become a student, or then listen to them both, or then love them all, but do not despise knowledge. May Allah grant us the understanding. آمين يا رب العالمين. وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.